If you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 15 in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 3, again, it's a real joy to see each one here this morning. We're thankful to the Lord that we can worship Him together. And our theme for the coming year and this year that we're in is becoming more like Christ. And this morning we're going to go back to something we've already discussed. That's the compassion for the lost that Jesus had. And I'll talk about this in just a few minutes. I'm sure that each of us have a compassion or a burden for someone we know who does not yet know Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's once again pause in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for that song which reminded us to pray that You will use us in the harvest. There are people coming to know Christ all around our world every day. And Lord, we want You to use us. We pray that You will use the message of the morning to encourage us to be the salt and the light in this world, in this needy world. There are people around us. Some of us have relatives and friends. Some of us work with people who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that You will use Your word this morning. Thank You so much for each one here, that together we can worship You, we can honor You in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. This is an election year that we're in, and it's pretty obvious when you drive through the community. You see that people make it clear who they stand for. They display their preferences on bumper stickers, placards. There are even expensive commercials that are on television and on the radio. They show up to rallies and place signs in their yards. And, of course, there are some people who are enthusiastic about a candidate, and there are those who are undecided, and there are those who really don't care. So actually, there's three categories. There are those who are excited about a candidate, there are those who really don't care, and there are those who are kind of undecided. And the interesting thing is, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord wants us to be excited about Him. He really does. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the apostle said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," or to the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We have said this many times before. We have the greatest message in the world, the message of life in Jesus Christ. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord wants us to develop. He really does. He wants us to develop a heart for witnessing to others, for sharing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice there are many verses in Scripture that encourage us in this direction. But this 1 Peter 3:15, I just thought we ought to glance at this one together, because you'll notice it says, "But set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear," or with meekness and respect. You'll notice the first part of the verse, some translations have it this way, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts," but there are other translations that carry it this way, "Set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts and always be ready." When we know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, when we know heaven is our destiny, when we know Christ goes with us through this life, God wants us to be ready, because there are many outside the family of God, multitudes who do not know Christ. When they see you, they may see in you that confidence in the Lord. It's amazing what God will do and how He will use us. The song said, "Pray that the Lord of harvest will use us in the harvest field." I think it's interesting, when you go into the book of Acts and you see the early church, we read concerning those in the early church in Acts 5:42. I mentioned this passage. "Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ." The early Christians, when they came to faith in Christ, they got excited about the Lord. They really did. And I truly believe each of us have different spheres of influence. I truly believe the more we become like Christ, the more we grow spiritually, that God is going to use us in the harvest. I'm going to draw a circle again. Your sphere of influence. There are people around you, people you work with, your neighbors, your relatives, your friends. And in that sphere of influence, God wants to use you to touch someone who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Again, in the book of Acts, Acts 8:4 says, "Therefore those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." In other words, in Acts chapter 8, we read the fact that the believers in Jerusalem were beginning to be persecuted for their faith in Christ. And in the midst of that persecution, they were driven out of Jerusalem. And as they went out of Jerusalem into the areas around Samaria and into other areas, they kept telling the good news of Jesus. They kept telling that, listen, we may be persecuted for our faith. There are leaders in the Jewish community who do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. But we know what He's done for us. We know He forgave us of our sins and we have eternal life. And even though they were, and this is hard for us to imagine because I don't think any of us here have ever been driven from our homes. But they were driven from their homes. And everywhere they went, they still talked about the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to define some terms with you, okay? I think these are terms that we should know. And by the way, I'm going to put a little parenthesis here. You hear a lot of discussion today with regards to the election regarding evangelicals. And a lot of evangelicals are going to vote this way. A lot of evangelicals are going to vote this way. And they're going to vote for this person. And you know, the interesting thing is nobody ultimately knows who all the evangelicals are going to vote for. I do. I thought you might respond that way. We are evangelical believers. And the word evangelical comes from evangel or the gospel message. And evangelicals primarily are those who believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and paid the price for our sins. And when they meet together to worship as we do, now, please keep this in mind. When they meet together for worship like we are doing, they always present the gospel message. Okay? And you say, wait a minute, do they all do that? I think most evangelicals do. Different brands within evangelicalism. But if you have a church where the Bible is opened and Christ is preached, mainly at the end of the service, the pastor or the guest speaker or someone will say, it's possible that there is someone here today who has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We encourage you today to trust Christ. We're encouraged as evangelicals to share the gospel of Christ. That is a distinctive, because within Christianity, there is various kinds of approaches and ways of worship. And sometimes you could go to a church and they wouldn't say anything about your need to trust Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. It's interesting. Some of you have told me this too. Some of you have told me that I talked to someone about Christ and they said, you know, nobody ever told me that. Nobody ever told me that I needed Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I want to do this too right now. How many of you, think before you raise your hand, how many of you had someone that you know was really burdened for you, and you trusted this, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior through the witness of one person? You weren't saved in a church service necessarily, but somebody talked to you about Jesus and told you, you need Jesus to be your Savior. How many of you had at least one person who was burdened for you and that person led you to Christ? Hand up. Okay, that's about 25% of us. That's very interesting. It really is. God wants to use us. He really does. You have the message of life. And again, in your sphere of influence, there are some people who still need Christ as Savior. So here's the two terms I want to distinguish for a couple minutes. Number one, evangelism. And number two, missions. See, next Sunday's missions conference. Today we want to focus on personal evangelism, sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are evangelicals. Now, can you remember what is involved in that? Evangelical believers are those who believe that the message, sharing the message of Jesus Christ, is of utmost importance in any given service. It's vitally important we share. People need the Lord. We sang the hymn, didn't we, together, of course. People need the Lord. Okay, here's the definition of evangelism. Evangelism is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is given in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, with those who are lost, with the purpose of encouraging them to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I put a little line in there that I want you to think about for a minute. I'm going to repeat the definition. Evangelism is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are lost, with the purpose of encouraging them to know and to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Okay? Now, I put that word lost in there because people who don't know Christ are lost. That doesn't mean they're geographically lost or they can't find their way. It means spiritually they're lost. And I looked up that word lost, and I had forgotten that that's what it meant. But listen to Jesus using this word. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." So Jesus left the glories of heaven, came down here, lived a sinless life, went to the cross and died for our sins. But when he came, even during his earthly ministry, he was looking for people who needed spiritual life and forgiveness of sins. He came to seek the lost. It's interesting that this word lost, it's a strong word. It means to be ruined. You say, whoa, back up here a little bit. That's a pretty strong word. Well, in a sense, it's not, because people who don't come to Christ and never have their sins forgiven, where are they headed? To an eternity without Jesus, right? And that's a bad condition to be in. To be in this world, experiencing the blessings of life, living here, and yet at the same time, not be on their way, on their journey to glory in heaven. So lost actually is a very strong word, and it tells us that sin has a very devastating effect upon those who do not know Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that those without Christ are always doing the worst of the worst. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean, unless the heart is changed and they receive your Lord and Savior as their Lord and Savior, they're lost and they need Christ. Okay? A missionary. Now, we talked about evangelism. It's a believer sharing life in Jesus Christ with those who are lost. A missionary. All right, next Sunday, we're going to have a missionary here. He was 20 years in the country of Turkey. And he's been greatly used to the Lord, he and his wife and their children. What's a missionary? I believe we can give a definition for missionary, okay? Now, a lot of people say, well, we're all missionaries. Yes, we are. Okay, we've all been sent out with the gospel message. But there is a technical use of the term missionary. A missionary is a person who has been called by God. Stay with me now for a minute. A person who's been called by God, and I'm going to stop there. If you haven't been called by God to go to Africa, you don't want to go there. You know what I'm saying, right? You want to go where God leads you. Very important. I've known people over the years that God's called me to Africa. And you know what? They never made it there. They never made it. And then I step back and I say, did God really call them to go to Africa and they weren't listening? What's the deal, you know? But I'll tell you what. Most people that we know, and we have a list of missionaries this long, who have gone out to different places around the world, they felt the call of the Lord to go to another country. Now, here's why you're going to like this definition. A missionary is a person who's been called by God to a full-time ministry of the Word of God and prayer. Okay, they're going to concentrate on prayer and the Word of God, Acts 6:4, and has crossed geographical or cultural boundaries. In other words, they go outside being Anglos in the United States. They go to people speaking a different language or people living in a different country. Where do you get that from? Acts 22:21. The Lord said to the Apostle Paul, depart from here, for I will send you from here out to the nations, to the Gentiles. So a person has been called by God to full-time ministry of the Word and prayer, has crossed geographical or cultural boundaries, stay with me now, to proclaim the gospel in those areas of the world where Jesus Christ is largely, if not entirely, unknown. And there are still many places in our world where people don't know about Jesus Christ. Dr. Robert Jeffress, talking about the spiritual decline in America just this past week, said on the radio, his daughter has a friend who is in college. And she said, nobody ever told me about Jesus Christ. Who really is Jesus Christ? Now, this is Dallas, Texas. You see? So there are those who get burdened for people who have never heard of Christ. And this last part of the definition comes from Romans 15:20. Very important. And so I have made it my aim, the Apostle Paul said, to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on the foundation of another. In other words, he wanted to go into areas where people really didn't know about the Lord. And this is what a missionary really is. And we're encouraged. We're thankful as a church family. When you give your offering, some of that offering goes to people who are in other countries, other lands, some even in Asia. And they're telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we give towards that, we're helping to spread the gospel in areas where people are very needy without the Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly, let's talk a little bit about personal evangelism, sharing our faith in Christ. I've chosen some verses that should be in real encouragement for you. Look at it with me, please. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. The Apostle Paul is speaking here, and you'll notice he says, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, the good news about Jesus, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may boldly speak boldly as I ought to speak. He says, pray for me that I may speak boldly of Jesus Christ. How many of you know John Dooley? Let me see your hands again. It's going to be hands up morning. Yeah. I still remember when John Dooley was here before he ever went overseas. He said, I'm telling you how you can pray for me. He said, you can pray for me that I will be able to speak boldly for Christ. And does he do that, we who know him well? I'll never forget it. He stood right here, this location, the square right here, and he said, please pray for me that I will speak boldly of the Lord Jesus Christ when I go to another country, and he has gone. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we were pleading through us, as though God himself, Christ himself was pleading with you, we implore you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And this is what we want people to do. We want them to have a relationship with the Lord. We want them to be at peace with God. We want them to have sins forgiven and the assurance of an eternal destiny. Very important. And we would agree, I'm sure, that the vast majority of Christians, particularly in our politically correct culture, having opportunities to talk with non-believers about a relationship with Jesus Christ, do not find this to be easy. Okay? There's something about it. In fact, all of us, even those of us who share our faith in the Lord, sometimes I'll tell you why. It's a spiritual battle. Does Satan want you telling your neighbor about Jesus? Does Satan want you talking to someone in your family about Jesus? How about a distant relative? Does Satan want that to happen? No. And so there's that spiritual warfare there. But Paul said, pray that I might speak boldly of Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Jesus Christ. And we can do this effectively because of the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Quickly, why is Jesus the only way to heaven? You say, well, why are you bringing that up now? We're talking about the joy of sharing Christ. Well, because this is a real issue in our world today. We say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And boy, you should see people interviewed on TV when they say Christ is the only way. Well, what are you trying to say? You have an exclusive gospel, an exclusive message? In a sense, it's exclusive, but Christ died for all men, did he not? Christ loves all men. And I'm going to show you if we have the time to do it. But here's the point. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It's a truth we must understand. Okay? There's a new book just came out. It's written by Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Dallas. And the title of the book is Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. Okay, we got that down? The interesting thing is you can go in all kinds of places. You can listen to things on TV, even on the radio. And they'll say, like Oprah Winfrey says, well, please keep in mind, there are many roads to God. Please understand, that's not so. Sometimes people say something like this, we all pray to the same God. That's not true as well. There's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father sent the Son to give His life for you and me so we might have forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. But we're living in a society that embraces what is called pluralism. And it's a philosophy that teaches within all religions there is some kind of truth. And tolerance is seen as the highest virtue. But this pluralism comes out of Eastern philosophies. Pluralism is not found in the Bible. You're not going to miss this. You won't miss it, I'm sure. Remember Jesus said, and I'm going to cut the verse up a little bit. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father in heaven except through me. It's pretty clear, huh? See, that's why we need to be so thankful that we've been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are multitudes around us who do not know this. The interesting thing is, the beauty of what Jesus said He came to do and what He claimed to be when He came here. He claimed to be God the Son. But some people will say, well, Jesus never said that He was God. That's wrong. They're not reading what the Bible says. There are a number of passages in Scripture, and the last one I want you to look at is in John chapter 8. Would you turn there with me, please? John chapter 8. Just watch this real carefully. We'll pull all this together. John chapter 8. The Jewish leaders were in a debate with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And it was a long debate. It's a long chapter. John chapter 8. And we're going to be down in verse 33. And the Jewish leaders said that, well, we were born Jews. We are the children of Abraham. And by that they were implying things are okay between us and God. John chapter 8, verse 33. They answered Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And of course, Jesus Christ makes people free, right? So Jesus goes on and states the fact that there must be a spiritual work in the heart. A person must be a spiritual descendant of Abraham. 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. 8:57. They said to him, you're not 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus claimed to be the I am of the Old Testament, the I am who appeared to Moses. Moses said, Lord, when I go to the children of Israel and tell them that you told me to lead them out of the land of Egypt and out of bondage, who should I say sent me? And of course, the Lord said, tell them I am has sent you. God, the one who is the eternal one, the one who always existed and will always exist in the future. And that's who our Lord Jesus Christ is. He's the one who always existed. And there's so many beautiful, beautiful things about Christ and the Word of God. When you talk to people about the person of Jesus Christ, He's the one who healed the sick. He's the one who turned the water to wine. He's the one who raised the dead. At the tomb of Lazarus, He said, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately Lazarus came out of the tomb. He's the one who calmed the storms on the Sea of Galilee. He said, peace be still. Because Jesus could do that because He's the Creator. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're all involved in creation. And of course, He's the one who forgives sin. And in Mark chapter 2, there's a beautiful passage where this paralytic man is healed by the Lord. And when the Lord healed the paralytic man, Jesus said this, but yet you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, to the lame man, rise up and walk. And this one who was lame from birth stood up and walked and went to his home, showing again the awesome power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, this is awesome for us to understand that he who has the Son has life. Jesus said, I say to you that you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. I am the one who came from above. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I'm going to give you a little parenthesis here. Hang on for a minute. In that book by Robert Jeffress, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven, in one of the chapters there's four biblical truths. And here it goes. Number one, everyone is guilty before God. Number two, no one is saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why I say, you've got to keep that burden. You know somebody who's not saved. It could be a relative, a friend, or a neighbor. You've got to keep that burden because all those who know not Christ are guilty before God. And no one is saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's why, by the way, when you're witnessing, use the name Jesus a lot. Use it, right? Because that really, the Holy Spirit takes that, because Jesus is the one who died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price. And they'll not forget. They may not agree. You may see them not totally wanting to hear sometimes what you have to say. But when you use the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. Remember, it was Peter and John who said, name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone's guilty before God. No one is saved apart from faith in Christ. Everyone has received the knowledge of God. Whoa, this is another huge subject. Everyone has received the knowledge of God. Everyone. Not everyone has heard the name of Jesus, but everyone has received the knowledge of God. And that's because it says in Romans chapter 1 that men are without excuse because God created our world, and the creation of the world shows the power of God and His Godhead. In other words, God is known. He is known by the world that He created. And you know this verse real well. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. So everyone has received the knowledge of God, but not everyone has heard the name of Jesus. And that's why we are to go, and we are to take the message of the gospel of Christ, as the song said this morning. Here's one more point that he brings out in this big, huge subject. What about those who have never heard the name of Jesus? Listen to this. Just listen to this phrase. We'll pull it all together. Anyone who wants further knowledge of Christ will receive it. It's a good point. Anyone who wants, you say, well, they realize there's a God. We had some friends in New York who went way up in the mountain areas of the Philippines. And the people said to him, they said to Roy, they said, we knew that there was a God who created the stars and the vastness of our earth, but we didn't know how to connect with Him. And Roy said, well, that's why I've come. I've come to tell you about the one who created this and how He laid down His life for you. Here's the point again. We're not going to forget it. Anyone who wants further knowledge of Christ will receive it. Do we have an example? Yes, we do. We have an example in the book of Acts, chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch was a Gentile who was on his way to Jerusalem. He felt in his heart that there was a true and living God. He even had the Old Testament scriptures. Don't miss this now. But he wasn't saved yet. He wasn't saved. But the Lord sent Philip along, and Philip explained Isaiah 53 to him and the Ethiopian eunuch. When we get to heaven, we can say, hey, how was that chariot ride anyway? He led him to faith in Christ. He walked, got up in the chariot, and he led the eunuch to Jesus Christ. My friends, this is so encouraging. God wants to use you and me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And please remember, when you have someone you're really burdened for them and you want them to know Christ, use the name of Jesus. Jesus loves you and died on the cross for you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When the truth is given, the Holy Spirit takes what you say and plants it deep in the heart of someone who needs Christ as Lord and Savior.